I didn't know he had that in him.
All right.
But that was some damn fine chili.
Nonetheless.
Indeed. Okay.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, you have reached us at a spiritual crossroads, I guess.
Wow.
This is Hey Kids Comics issue, I believe 148, if I'm not mistaken.
You may actually be correct.
If Erica is listening, we called last issue 145 all through it, and it was actually 147, and I had to record an addendum and put it at the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah, so that Erica, so there wouldn't be another lost episode that we had to then track down Eddie and
explain that we,
Colleen and go to Loch Ness to record. Speaking of,
this is actually 147.
This is 147?
Yes, indeed.
Pretty sure the last one was 147, but I could be wrong. Whatever. It's the issue that is the issue of.
This is the issue that follows the last issue.
That's right. We're just having some fun, guys. Listen, it's been a long summer. A lot of stuff has happened at the JCU over the past 3 months. We're going to have a summer fun episode. We haven't done it since when?
Oh, gosh. What was it? 2013?
Yeah. So, 2 years, 100 episodes ago, we did a summer fun episode. 100 episodes ago. So, we're going to do a summer fun episode. I'm Andrew, as always. With me is my life partner, co-host. And I can't remember the actor's name. The Indian guy in the Royal Tenenbaums. I can't figure out which one is which though. Whether you're him or I'm him.
Mutual life debt.
Right. Like
constantly, not only simultaneously repaying, but then. Owing yet again.
Yeah, exactly. Cole Houston, the Jedi Cole Houston, namesake of the podcasting organization in which you have landed to listen to this. So you're joining us at a really weird. First of all, I'm on a lot of NyQuil. Just a lot of NyQuil right now. Just you've heard the NyQuil episodes before, which is sort of like Lou Reed's The Bedroom Tapes. We should find a label so that people can just go back and find all of the NyQuil episodes and just listen to those.
Just to add that extra little element there. And in fact, you are correct. This is actually 148. 147, this is the point where I apologize. For the reason, as you will see in the posting of 147, never got posted because I was so damn busy working on the Jedi Cole Universe comic toy and collectible swap meet.
Which was a smashing success, by the way. Congratulations to Cole
and all
of the JCU.
If you're a listener and you came out to the show, bless you. Thank you very much. It was a tremendous success. It was one of the most fun and challenging and crazy things I've done in a long time, and to come back to that 6 years after the fact, the time that I said I'm never going to do this again. I've done 7 of these shows. They're fun. They're great. I'm done with it.
Right.
For the Jedi, this time to rest.
Time to enter the holocron.
But I'll tell you, people like Alan Cordry of Texas Comic Fest, the folks from Chris from the North Texas Comic Book Show, the folks who are putting on the Brazos Valley show coming up, and like Danae, who's putting on just like willing LubbockCon into existence next year. And, of course, the long years with AllCon.
Yeah.
All combined, but certainly the more recent influences. I caught the bug again, and there it is.
I'm
back in the saddle. And I do believe I can officially announce. I do not want to say the date yet, because I don't really remember.
Okay.
off the top of my addled brain. But the Jedi Cole Universe Comic Toy Collectible Swap Meet 2 is already in the works for
there
May
you go,
of 2016.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So
there you go.
We will And I'm going to stall for time and see if I can find my email from the Bob Duncan Center.
I can,
but we will be back in May, so that answers the question of when.
There you go. So I want you to, we're going to have fun tonight, guys. We're going to relive some of our favorite moments, talk about some topics, talk about, Cole had the brilliant idea of talking about, you know, it's summer, it's vacation time, what superheroes do for vacation, supervillains do for vacation. That's the topic of this show. Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you for listening to damn near 150 episodes of us ramble on.
Make extreme... Talking God knows what we'll say next about comics.
So, this isn't a comics-related thing, but fellow podcaster, personal friend, and contributor to the show, frankly, Brittany Wrench, brought this to my attention, and I want you to join me in a thought exercise. I just want you to do this, because I don't think I've ever heard it. Just say the word dolphin.
Dolphin.
How do you say it in normal conversation if you were like, hey, look at that?
Oh, like, you know, a lot of people think that's a dolphin, but it's really a porpoise.
I am pretty sure, and this has nothing to do with comics, but I'm almost positive that word has to have a Scottish derivation. Because all I can... dolphin. Dolphin.
Oh, dolphin. Dolphin.
Dolphin.
Yeah, but that would possibly be true because, I mean, the actual English word... may differ vastly,
right,
from other, you know, the words that are from the Latin or other Andaluvian languages, if you will.
I don't know why I'm talking about it again, NyQuil.
But
it was really interesting
point.
Because if I can do, you know, Kevin Pollak does these brilliant on his podcast. Does these brilliant one word impressions? So he'll do one word impressions, like he'll do one actor saying one word, and you instantly know who it is. And he does one with Liam Neeson, but I actually think that Liam Neeson saying dolphins would be the best thing in the world. I think we should figure that out.
Yeah,
dolphins. 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 We just said dolphins on a comic book show 17 times. So
yes, that was like the episode to try to tie this into comics. The episode of the ill-fated, yet apparently it ran like two seasons, probably like this replacement seasons. You know,
yeah.
But the Bob Newhart vehicle, the final nail in the Bob Newhart coffin, apparently of entertainment, Bob.
See, I liked Bob.
Most people don't even remember it, but it was, you know, when comics were in the vernacular everywhere.
Mid-90s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When, you know, the Image comics, the bubble was beginning to expand to this breaking point. There was a sitcom called Bob, where Bob Newhart was sort of like the, it was almost like the Bob Keane, the, you know, the... Mm-hmm. A venerable creator of a famous comic, and then he was brought out of retirement to work with a young hotshot to revamp his characters. It was almost like, you know, Bob Keane and...
like Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, or... yeah, in fact, the character was very McFarlane-esque, but I was thinking more like, a Dark Knight.
Frank Miller?
Yeah, it would be like sort of like Frank Miller kind of doing the Dark Knight if Bob Keane had been brought in to kind of punch that up, or, and you know, he would have been aghast to
what was happening.
Yeah.
Sure.
And there was an episode where they were complaining about a poster for their publisher where Oyster Boy was getting better coverage on the poster than their character, which I believe was Mad Dog or Wild Dog or something like that.
Yeah.
And the fact that there was a whole scene of them saying, Oyster Boy, Oyster Boy. Remark about Oyster Boy being said more times than any other time. Before.
See,
this was our Oyster Boy episode,
right? Since we're talking about dolphins, you know, and we're reliving old memories of the show, I want to harken back to a day around issue 72.
You know what I like at SeaWorld is a dolphin show.
I like dolphins. Dolphin Shoe, which was issue 72, which is the one that we did all about. It was one of the ones where we challenged. We have issues where we haven't talked about this in a while, where Cole and I just set out to destroy.
God knows we have issues, but that's another story.
Where we have issues of the show where Cole and I just set out to destroy each other. That's the whole point of our existence, is us saying, what I'm going to do has come up with something so ludicrous that we're going to test ourselves to see if we can do it. This was one of those, and that was our I Want to Talk About the Animals episode.
Oh, wow. That was an interesting choice, and I take full responsibility for choosing, for the choosing. I choosed.
But it was a good show. I mean, we had a lot of fun. There was a lot of really interesting conversation about Lockjaw, Red Wing, and the Pet Avengers, if you remember right.
Oh, yeah.
Did we touch too much on the fact that there was a period in DC's history where everyone got turned into monkeys like 17 times?
No, we didn't. And in fact, some of the things along those lines, we should do like a Metamorphosis episode.
Okay, I like it.
Kafka-esque.
Kafka-esque.
Because at one point, Superman has had many a transformation. Most of them, if I'm not mistaken, were red kryptonite fueled.
Well, yeah.
But some of it was magic and just some of it was just purely accidental circumstances.
Well, and we also didn't talk about Spider-Man growing, six extra arms?
Yes, that was like his four extra limbs and at one point being mutated into a literal man-spider.
Right.
But Superman was turned into a lion at one point.
Yeah, he had a lioness. Like a lion-y's head.
One time
lion.
He turned into like half man, half ant, much like the movie Matinee.
The John Goodman? That was John Goodman.
The John Goodman movie, yes.
That was a good movie. So yeah, that was like, that's one of my fond, like, since we've done the last one of these, I have a few really fond memories, and most of them come from the ones where we really challenged ourselves to step up and just take this ridiculous topic and just make an hour happen out of it. And that was
absolutely,
that was issue 72. If you guys want to go back and listen to it and you haven't, it was super fun. What about you, Cole? What's one of your favorites?
Well, I think hands down, and I think this is going to be a shared favorite, and I may be stealing your thunder here a bit, but Play Ball, issue number 48.
I was going to give that one to you. I wasn't going to take that. Yeah, one. You love that one.
With Eddie Medina. And the whole thing came out of Andy one day saying, okay, you know how like the X-Men would have this annual baseball game? And I thought, I hadn't thought about that. I didn't follow them long enough to realize whether or not it was, I say annual, it may not have been like every year. But that did recur. I didn't realize it had recurred so often. But I remember seeing an issue and I think they did the same thing in the New Mutants, where it was like strictly no powers up to the point where everybody started using powers. Then it just turns into a brawl.
Yeah, Donnybrook is what it just becomes. Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on just a moment.
I think Cole's gone away, so he's left the show in my hands. No, and it was the X-Men, but it was more Avengers, West Coast Avengers, because they would do an annual every year, and then it would be like the Avengers, the West Coast Avengers, and nobody could quote-unquote use their powers, even though most of those powers were built into themselves, and they couldn't do anything about it. So, the only people that were really screwed were like Hawkeye and like Black Panther. They were really screwed, but Quicksilver, I remember, cheated because he's a dick. So he would do like laps around the bases and.
Well, that and like Hawkeye and some of them are just they basically get to throw the ball or hit it or do people things.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, they could probably play on a sub-professional or even professional level.
Right.
But yeah, they're not just going to break out with. It'd be like if the roles were reversed at DC and Oliver Queen broke out a baseball bat arrow,
right?
Which probably has one.
I wouldn't
just
be shocked.
Found a good use. It's there and it's never been like
never a good use for it.
This would be better. This the again the boxing glove keeps trumping the baseball bat arrow.
Right. One day.
Well, the opportunities for bunting. Crime fighting are so few, but absolutely, play ball was one of those where I'm not a sports person. I don't think any of us were versed enough to really speak to it. But good God, that was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was incredibly fun. We were joined by Eddie Medina And that was the first appearance, I believe, the first real honest to God appearance of Old Hollywood on a show.
Oh, that, I believe that may have been.
Because Jason Adams, the venerable Jason Adams, joined us drunk out of his mind.
Yes,
that was so great. Yeah, I don't think Eddie knew what he was getting into when he jumped on that one.
Yeah, I think, and of course, that easily predates even the first recorded Rancor Pit. So I think that that may have been the point where I realized going into Rancor Pit, looking back at that episode, that he would be perfect for that. So, you know, a double whammy there.
Did do you have any changes to any of your rosters of teams now, looking back?
You know, the theme of it is I'm hesitant to say anything because I really want to. Of course, Play Ball became unofficially known as Comic Sport Balls.
Yeah, Comic Super Sports Balls. Yeah,
Comic Super Sports Balls, the one big long ass word.
Mm-hmm.
So the comic, this Comic Super Sports Balls has it's begging to be revisited and taken to new levels, and new sports introduced, because there are the occasional sports that occur in comics.
There are,
and what better way to explore them than that? So I would be hesitant to play around with that at this moment, because that's the,
okay,
the stuff of a future episode.
We'll actually go back and revisit that. So you said to me prior to recording that this idea came to you out of an inspiration based on a supervillain.
Indeed, yeah. Do you want to touch on any more of our favorite
past
episodes?
We'll come back. I'm sure we'll come back to it.
We'll swing back by. Well, I got thinking about, you know, approaching the summer fun, because we haven't done one apparently in over 2 years. And the original summer fun was inspired by the old, like DC had a Blue Devil summer fun special we talked a little bit about. We talked about the occasional X-Men summer fun specials. And we talked about just the fun stuff, like the goofy What If. There was an issue of What If back in the day that was just...
Right.
Like just, you know, they had done all these serious things, and you know, some, it was sort of hit and miss in that series. But it was a specific issue of What If. Number 34, apparently.
Well.
There you go. Where they just did, you know, goofy, like, you know, What If Cyclops' beams came out of his ears. And they got, like, everybody in the bullpen involved. So they had these great art for just, like, one panel, or maybe it was, like, Cyclops with the regular kind of, you know, his hood, but the regular eye holes.
Mm-hmm.
And then his visor was split into two pieces on either ear, and he was talking about, like, the if it wasn't for his ruby quartz earmuffs, he would be unable to control his eye beams. And, you know, we did that topic justice a couple of years ago, and I was afraid that it would be easy to go back and repeat ourselves accidentally. So what would we do for fun? And that got me thinking, what do you do for fun when you're a crime fighter or a criminal? And I got to thinking about, of all characters, the Joker, probably because I'm still trying desperately to stop having vomit at the back of my throat when I think about how they're ruining the character with Suicide Squad, in my opinion. I just don't like that approach.
Right.
Because, to me, that's patently unnecessary.
Well, it becomes... My problem with it is, if you're trying to introduce this, and you're having Ben Affleck as Batman...
Yeah.
So you are introducing this as canon.
Yeah.
If it's canonical, then you're introducing this Joker as canonical. And
exactly.
that for me is what's really bothersome.
Yeah, and the problem is, we're starting out, your entree into Joker in this cinematic universe is taking an over-the-top character and just layering to the point where, you know, it's like one of those KFC cups or bowls where it's just like, you know, I like corn and chicken and mashed potatoes, but I don't need them all, like, crammed together into one bowl.
Right.
With gravy on top. And that's what, I mean, I want to do like a Photoshop of Jared Leto, you know, grabbing his head and the maniacal promo shot.
Yeah.
Like, popping out of a KFC bowl. Because that's what I'm seeing here. It's like, you know, you don't need it all together.
Right.
And, But at any rate, I got to think, okay, you know, the Joker, let's just say, you know, 350 days out of the year, he's either committing crime or doing time.
Okay.
But I think even the Joker would want a little time off. It's like, was it Huey Lewis in the News that sang about a couple of days off?
Probably.
Somebody like that. I seem to remember there was a song in the 80s, you know. Or Lindsey Buckingham, you know, on the Holiday Road, or the Bangles going on vacation.
That's right. Wow.
So,
wow.
So this is turning into American Top 40.
Right. The long distance request. It's 7:30 on the dial in the morning. Did I ever tell you I did a show like that? I don't know if I ever talked about that.
No, yeah, I did not know that.
I did a college radio morning zoo show.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how this all started for real. Me and a guy named Dwayne did a morning, like a crazy morning zoo show on the college, for the college that I went to. So nice. I was that guy. I was that guy with donkey noises and train whistles.
So you're honing the dick jokes even back
then.
Oh,
God, I hone some dick jokes. I sharpen them, and I have a forge, man. I have an anvil and an apron. I do it. Okay, so you were saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what
so
does the
I'm
Joker
like,
do?
You know, the Joker is like, you know, we were, dear Casey, we were thinking about how the Joker might want to go on vacation. Could you play Lindsey Buckingham's Holiday Road? And layer it in with Cesar Romero laughing.
Oh, Jesus. That's the best idea you've ever had. And you are brilliant.
Well, actually, there's more Riddler-esque there, but still.
Now I have a... That was definitely Gorshiny, which is my new adjective. Man, that's Gorshiny. Now I have a project. You just gave me a project.
Okay, excellent. I want to hear this. So, my favorite line was the, you know, the girl asking the... phoning the Joker, and, you know, how do you stop a dog barking in July? Give him a sign. Shoot him in June. I literally fell out of my chair when I was watching the DVDs. But at any rate, what would the Joker do for fun? And of course, you know, a lot of people, their first thought is, you know, I don't know, go kill people.
Right.
You know, he's like the line in Buckaroo Banzai, you know, Dr. Lizardo just seen kill you is go fishing. But the thing about it is,
I got an admission of guilt.
Absolutely.
Fleetwood Mac's my favorite band. I did not realize that until you were saying it, it just registered in my brain that's the Lindsey Buckingham that created Holiday Road.
This is like you realizing you were sitting next to Camden Toy.
It is exactly the same thing. I had to stop the podcast. I had to pull the brake and be like, my mind is blown right now. That is not a song that I associate with him, but I'm now. It's now one of my favorite songs of all time. Okay,
especially the new the new Cesar Romero version.
Oh, it's going to be great because Lindsey Buckingham is definitely Cesar Romero-esque in his execution.
Well, he's not at all Gorshiny.
Not Gorshiny even a little bit.
Yeah. So, I gotta think, you know, the Joker would actually want to literally recuse himself from his day-to-day activities. But that's what he does for... It'd be like, you know, I guess like travel writers, they must just like stay home.
Right, like what do you do?
Yeah, you just go and you sit, you like binge watch, like... You bring Breaking Bad or something. Because you want to do what people who aren't traveling to, you know, Puentes Aires last week would be doing. So I got to thinking about it, and I was remembering reading an article about Brian De Palma's Phantom of the Paradise.
Okay.
And this is, as often I do, this is going to be a nice little circuitous a meandering road to get you somewhere. But in the article, they mentioned the big concert with Meat and it being a Grand Guignol.
Really?
Being the curious type I am, was not familiar with this term. I went and looked it up. Apparently, it is French for big puppet. And for some reason, what translates into big puppet translated in the term of the Grand Guignol as, imagine films like Saw.
Okay.
And whatever the one where the guys were running around like pig heads and stuff, or you know, any of your slasher movies that were once all the rage. I think
right.
Nowadays it's all being replaced by found footage.
It's getting there for sure, yeah.
Or, you know, found footage horror ghost movies now. But you know, imagine that sort of thing, and a lot of times we tend to decry as a society that, you know, this is what's passing itself off as entertainment.
Right.
We're talking like in the 18th, or no, like the 19th century,
right.
France. The Grand Guignol was exactly the same thing on stage 5 nights a week.
Okay.
It was like, you know, let's go see a play about the Spanish Inquisition.
Right.
And, you know, people, there was beheadings and dismemberments and, you know, all this stuff. It was like going to, you know, a slasher haunted house, and then they, you know, reset the stage and then run people through again. But this was like theater.
Yeah.
And there is actually, I got even more curious about the Grand Guignol, and it turns out there is in San Francisco, I believe, a troupe known as Thrill Peddlers who to this day produce Grand Guignol.
Wow.
They have kept in America the Grand Guignol theater alive. And so I imagine that the Joker would like go and get some, I don't know, Maybelline, like a bunch of like cosmetic eye on, kind of, you know, paste himself up like in the Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah.
You know, kind of put on a lot of makeup and dye his hair or wear a wig or something and go and attend a few shows at the, I think, what was the... The one they were doing, like the Bloody Debutante or whatever. He would go, you know, check out the whatever the Thrill Peddlers were performing.
See, in my mind, it's a really good point. That's really cool. Like,
but in other words, it's sort of like let somebody else do it and not for reals.
Right. Like it would be like Batman, like volunteering to be on the police force.
I just want to do a ride along.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Just
I'll just wait at the car, like fist clenched.
I think that Superman probably just goes and actually does reporting. You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like he does
he actually goes and does the travel. He goes to Buenos Aires. And,
yeah, he actually gets on a plane.
Yeah.
Flies there. Does the story. Flies back.
I imagine him on a plane, and he looks out the window. And goes. There's a bird.
I'm in a plane.
I'm Superman.
And then he snaps the person's neck next to him. And no one can know.
That's right.
What does Aquaman
don't wake
do?
Don't wake my friend. He's dead tired.
Jesus.
Yeah, he slips into commando.
Wait, what does Aquaman do for vacation?
Aquaman, I see Aquaman, like, going to, like, the center, like, the middle states, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Minnesota, the heartland, you know, to, like, gets as far away from ocean as possible. Or maybe, like, goes to Death Valley.
Well, you know what, I agree, but I also, there's a part of me that wants to believe that Loch Ness is connected to the ocean somewhere, like deep in the vast cavernous.
Oh, it's probably like the, you know, the core of Naboo.
Right, exactly.
It's like tunnels you can swim through.
That he secretly swims up through there with a big inflatable paleosaurus and just screws
yeah, he just,
with
like,
people.
Goes and goofs around and, like, you know, has like this this long thing where it looks like a sea serpent, you know, like several coils.
Right.
It's basically like a big auger on a crank. But from a distance, it looks like, you know, the old sea serpent back. That
right.
At intervals, breaks the surface of the water. That's interesting. He probably just goes, it probably did that, you know, back for a while there. But I see him that, like, you know, he gets home and Mira and the Arthur Jr. and King Volko and Laura Lamaris and everybody are all subjected, because he's king, to having to watch an endless slideshow of, like, you know, the cracked, parched earth.
It's the salt flats.
Salt flats, yeah, the Dead Sea. And I was like, it's again.
That's awesome. That's great.
Right, right, Neptune. You know, it's like the most, and then everybody's like, you know what I could go for right now? It's a big glass of water. Don't go Zarka or something around here. Hell, at this point, I'll be like the Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Just
something, anything.
So that's where I see that.
That's awesome. That's a great idea. Oh, do you have any other good ones?
I'm curious. What is somebody, you know, if we talked about, like, you know, Batman, because as Bruce Wayne, he could just, you know, go have lunch in Paris and dinner in New York and
right,
but somebody, like, you know, when you're rich like that, but then he might choose just to, like, hang out with the Gotham PD as Batman,
right?
At that point, Batman's pretty much taken over. Bruce Wayne hardly gets it. He's like, come on, Batman, opera.
I just want to go fly fishing.
Oh, opera, only fists, justice.
I want to go fly fishing.
Justice.
Fly fishing.
Justice. There is no justice in fly fishing.
He goes and gets fifth meal. That's what he does.
That's right. He's bypassing fourth meal.
Altogether.
And going right into fifth.
Fifth meal only happens at 2:07.
I'm a superhero and I get fifth meal, by God.
2:07 a.m. is the only time you can get fifth meal.
So I'm going to challenge you with another
rich
guy who's crazy and has the dough. And the means to fly around is, from that point, for that matter. What do you see Mark Spector and Moon Knight doing?
Oh, that's... You know what? Here's what he does. He adapts another persona.
Like, wills a new personality.
Vacation persona.
Take that, Sybil.
And, wow. Wow, bright light. He becomes a carny in the circus for, like, 3 months.
Oh, I like that. And does he take on the role of, like, Gary Busey in the movie Carny?
No, like,
I want to challenge people, because I've only seen bits and pieces of this movie, to force yourself to go find, like, a copy of Carny. And maybe you let us know what you thought.
Or he just becomes Carny Wilson.
Oh,
yeah. No, but, like, I see him, like, in a strap style T-shirt.
Yeah,
you know, like in a pair of, like, old beat up khakis, in a bowler hat, like,
now,
running the tilt-a-whirl.
Like, yeah, or maybe, like, the balloon water guns, the clowns.
Right, like he's barking somewhere,
yeah.
Like at a game, a fixed
yeah,
game.
Boy, when you can pick. You know, any one of these three stuffed toys here, son. We right. always have a winner. Winner every time.
Right, that's what I see him doing. Just crazy carnival stuff. Never telling anybody who he is. Never breaking character. Never even thinking about
yeah,
Moon
I mean,
Knight.
Like, somebody's getting mugged across the park there. Across
yeah.
the parking lot. Where they're, and yeah, and then just, like, every night, a great big fresh funnel cake.
That's exactly right. And it's self-imposed amnesia. So he go, and then at the end of three months, he just snaps out of it, forgets what he was doing, walks off the carnival, and goes back to being Moon Knight.
Yeah, it's the point where you're heading back down to winter in Florida.
Exactly, and nobody wants to do that.
And the southern zone, Florida and stuff.
Exactly, nobody wants that. So
I may have actually met him.
I think you did. Did he have a rat tail?
We had the piece of the Action Collectibles in the Dirt Mall.
Mm-hmm.
The mall was so desperate for anything. I kid you not. This is God's truth. For like 2.5-3 months, a carnival, one of those parking lot type carnivals,
right?
Part of the carnival wintered inside the mall.
Wow!
They brought in. They literally set up the smaller rides inside this great open area in the mall, and some of the concessions. Let me tell you, there's nothing nicer than going to. You know, to your comic shop and being able to, like, walk a couple hundred paces to a funnel cake.
That's absolutely true. Why nobody has opened a funnel cake comic book shop yet is beyond me.
Yeah, and they even had some of the you know, win, step right up and win some crap. Some of that stuff going on. But there was a carny there, a heavily tattooed,
sure,
stink on ice carny, who would come down and, like, every Friday peruse our Punisher back issues because he was so happy that he could, you know, I'm sure his opportunity is the, it's hit or miss if you set up in a parking lot.
Right.
Of a strip center that has a comic shop. So it was just a joy for him to
That's fantastic. You brought joy into a carny's life.
Yeah, into a carny's life. And then, you know, at the end of the winter, he went back to his moon copter and...
and fought crime again.
And fought crime, yeah.
Absolutely. What does Daredevil do on vacation?
Wow. I think for Daredevil, it would be kind of like... you know, it'd be one of those things where, you know, he gets like those like noise canceling headphones plus earplugs,
like sensory deprivation tank.
Yeah, literally. He and Rom the Space Knight go to one of those places like from altered states.
Yeah, they into
the sensory deprivation tank. Yeah, somebody still trying to keep that relevant today.
Oh, they are. Oh, they are.
They're back now. Okay.
Yeah, they're super back now.
Wow, that's everything new is old again.
I kind of want one.
Yeah, but they would go and like, because I was thinking that Rom the Space Knight would be a good candidate for vacationing, because he's literally the whatever race he was, he's like Inframan, where he's like forever trapped in this.
Right.
This, you know, he sacrificed himself to be forever trapped in this suit. So, you know, to be able to be nothing.
Right.
To the primal. To return to the core elements for that briefest time, just to live on an atomic level. I think that would be, especially for him, from a deeply spiritual and mental standpoint, coping mechanism. Like, you know, you think that Matt Damon's got a band, The Martian. You know how they say, like, somebody, like, if you lose a finger, you get the phantom itch.
Right.
Imagine, like, you know,
losing your whole body.
Yeah, you know, every now and again, he's got, like, that kind of little itch around the crotch tile area, and there's, like, clink, clink, clink. Like, see, there's a walking refrigerator now. So, you know, to escape that, in a sense. And for Daredevil, just to kind of get away from, you know, be closed off from all of his hypersensitivity,
right,
to the world, because he can't, in his private moments, stare at a giant canvas with 37 shades of white on.
That's true. He can't.
That is a tribute to a couple of issues that was a show that crossed over from this show and into the second live show. The final live show, rather.
Okay.
We talk about Daredevil, so, which was...
Speaking of favorite episodes, right? Like, our episode on Daredevil was one of my favorite episodes that we've done.
Yeah, and what was amazing, you know, it was literally because we couldn't shut up about Daredevil, we had to do an episode about Daredevil. And even though you and I did the episode about Daredevil, we couldn't shut up about Daredevil. And in your absence, we...
did a show about Daredevil.
Cap. We gave an even number of episodes to the live show when we were retiring it, and carried it over to the live show because there was so much to talk about.
How do you feel about the casting of Shane from The Walking Dead as
Punisher?
Oddly
enough, because I'm a glutton for punishment, the day after the Jedi Call Universe Comic Toy and Collectible Swap Meet, I went to the Lost Toys in Dallas.
Yeah.
Fairly new toy shop, aftermarket toy shop over there, and I love these guys. And they had an invitation, you know, they put out the invitation. They had a room, in like an extra room where they didn't have any stuff.
Yeah.
And they invited anybody who wanted to, up to 10 people, bring your own table and bring your stuff and sell it at their store.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. Free. I mean, just come and if there's space, let us know. So we know you're coming, and there were about six or seven of us who showed up and kind of rotated through, And one of the things, discussions was about that very topic, about the actor who played Shane in The Walking Dead. And they were like, oh, no, he's all wrong. And I got to think about it. I think, no, he's all perfect.
He's pretty good. It's a pretty good choice. I still think...
He looks the part of somebody who's... I mean, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but I genuinely have been wanting to, is the Punisher Warzone.
Oh, it's a good movie. Yeah, I liked it.
Everybody, a lot of them were talking about the fact that that's the Punisher.
See, I don't think so.
He looks like he's, you know, had a rough life before he had a rougher life.
I will say this. Bobby Blakey hit the nail on the head, as he so often does, when he said, if you've seen The Purge 2, Anarchy, it's nothing like the first Purge movie, okay, at all. The movie stars Frank Grillo, who plays Crossbones in the Marvel movies.
Oh, okay.
And he says, as a Purge movie, it's okay. But as an audition to be Punisher, it's the best movie you've ever seen. And it is a Punisher movie. It's the idea of the Purge where they lock everything down and you have that one night to go crazy and there's no law. It's completely wild. And Frank,
it is the will of Landru. It's like festival.
Exactly. But Frank Grillo plays an ex-cop who is trying to save people, get people out of harm's way. So it's very, very Punisher-esque because it's just ultra-violent and him with like four or five people trying to get them to safety.
Yeah.
Because his cop ego overrides, or his cop id overrides the Purge ego. You know, and he can't do the wrong, so he has to do the right thing. It's a really good movie in that respect. And I, if it wasn't going to be Frank Grillo, the more I think about it, the John Bernthal or Bernthal or however you pronounce his name, he's a really good choice for it.
I think he's a good actor, and I think that he's going to fit the mold of the way they're casting this show.
Right.
And so I think, you know, from the standpoint of the way they're casting, he's a perfect fit as well.
I think so.
And you mentioned Bobby Blakey.
I did mention Bobby Blakey.
And one of the things we need to go back to, we haven't done this in a long time, is you know, do a show where we kind of profile an artist, a local artist in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We did a show a long-ass time ago titled The Ballad of Bobby Blakey.
We did.
And we had more... We love just doing shows, anything, with Bobby. I kind of miss the, him and Catherine doing What'd You Think? And
they're
going to try to bring that back, if nothing else, by episode 7. but the thing about it is we have... that was just good old-fashioned... guys talking about comics and comic-related stuff, and that's just like goofing around with Bobby. And, you know, though all three of us were in entirely different locations, it was like we were all just kind of hanging around after a convention or something.
Right.
And so that one's a fun listen because it's just, it's one of the ones where we took a little bit of a departure from the normal approach to this. So, and that's part of what's fun about this is we get to move around within the realm of what defines comic books for us.
Right. In other TV news, since we're talking about this, I don't know if you've seen the news about the Arrow TV show yet, that Constantine will appear.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Constantine will appear at least once, depending upon fan reaction, possibly more, within the Arrow universe. So I'm gonna have to dust out the trench coat again and come at it as Matt Ryan. So that's good news for me.
Baby. That is wonderful. I do remember seeing that. Also an interesting, I haven't seen anything, you know, specific to this. But here within the last few days, before we were recording this episode, there was some official art of the choosing of sides, as it were, for
Civil
War. And one of the interesting things that struck me And I had to kind of go back because I was looking at the two side, you know,
yeah,
two group images. I had to go back. And like, it is who I think it is, if I'm not entirely mistaken. Bobby Morse is getting kicked up to the big leagues.
From what it looked like, it's either Shield, or
I think we're getting Mockingbird because she's on the same team as with Hawkeye.
See, I couldn't figure out whether it was her or the what's her name? Not Sharon Carter, but Sharon Carter's heir apparent.
Oh yes,
it could be either one. But I am very much hoping.
If you look at the art, because the artist captures very well the look of the actors,
yes,
the likeness of the actors. And to these eyes, it's the same actor.
It looks like Adrian Padalecki. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I hope so. I'm gonna.
That, and I think I don't have the art handy, but I think that she's got the
batons,
the sticks. Yeah.
You know, there's one other memory.
So I think we're gonna be looking at a stick cat fight.
I hope so. Now here's the one from the, I have no transition for this. I'm just gonna put it out there because we're starting to run up to
it. We're having fun anyway, so who cares?
Is we did an episode a while ago on continuity. We did a series of episodes on continuity, and one of the ones we did was called it was issue 52. It was I didn't know we had one of these. We talked at length. We talked at length about Wolverine and his claws and their inception
and
how upset you are that it was retconned out that there was clear instructions of the way his claws worked and there were no bone claws because the diagram clearly describes Wolverine as having implanted adamantium claws. But something came out of that issue that stayed with us for a while and we have neglected it. We were looking at because we were talking about the width and breadth of the Batcave. And we found an illustration.
Oh, yes, indeed.
With so many things in it. Bat gliders and bat boats and bat computers and the Penny and the T-Rex. And
oddly enough, the Penny Farthing was nowhere to be found.
It wasn't. But it
does not display that proudly.
But it featured a character in it. It took us the rest of the show to unearth his origins. And that was somebody that we came to terms with as the Snaggletooth Hunchback.
Yes, indeed, the Snaggletooth hashtag Snaggletooth Hunchback.
Ex super villain, quote unquote. That was falling on hard times and looking for a job. So Batman employed him to tinker around in the Batcave. The Snaggletooth Hunchback needs recognition
again.
Yes, yeah, so there you go, Snaggle. This is your what do they the Lifetime Achievement Award?
Yes, indeed.
For the JCU.
This is your Bob Keane Award for outstanding achievement in being noticed.
That in being noticed by us, you win. So, do you have any final vacation thoughts for? For our listeners,
I'm still just I'm sorry, I'm dumbstruck by the return of Hunchback Snaggletooth.
The Hunchback Snaggletooth, rightfully so. I mean,
yeah,
it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
So anyway, where were we at?
We were discussing any other further vacation ideas.
Oh, another vacation. Oh, wow. You know, I think Captain America.
Okay.
I think because he is the living embodiment of America, would probably annually just pick a country or go to Europe or Asia or, you know, do these kind of package tours.
Yeah.
Even just as Steve Rogers, solely to be the counterpoint to the traditional ugly American tourist. I think because he is the embodiment of the red, white, and blue, he would want to go and represent and say, look, we're not all just a bunch of pompous asses.
Right.
Who, like, you know, we're not all the guys who go and start, you know, pick up an orange and start peeling it in the Buddhist temple. I want to paint a picture there for those who've ever.
That was really good. Like, I was actually, I had to stop and think about it.
I have carried that joke with me, that visual, for 30-something years. That's when I was really in high school, I went on a trip to New York, and we wandered into this Buddhist temple. And it was just a wonderful experience to see the art and the craft of the iconography of Buddhism and the architecture and everything about this temple. But one of the things that struck me is I just had to kind of, being me, I had to laugh to myself because I had this instant impression of some just complete asshat walking over and picking up an orange and starting to peel it because there were all these oranges that had been left by worshippers.
Just, hey, are these free? All right, I'll take one.
Yeah, I want some oranges here. You got a juicer or something. And I just wish, you know, if I had like a venue to produce something like that, to fabricate a set that replicated that, I thought it would be hilarious to illustrate that. So that one of the wonderful things, and talking about the fun of just doing these podcasts, is I kid you not, if you listen to my body of work from VaderCast to the present day, at intervals, and I've never even imagined trying to catalog this, but at intervals, there are things that will come out. And this was definitely the case with the comic strip You Are Here, that I've carried with me for 20 or 30 years.
Wow.
And you just never know when you'll need that joke. So there you have it. I think that Captain America would want, that Steve Rogers would want to go out and see the world that he fought to protect.
See, I think that he goes the same route as Rom or as Daredevil, but in his own way.
Oh, okay.
He jumps on a boat and trails off into international waters for about a week, where literally no country.
He's like the man without a country.
Yeah, he just hangs out there, not having to worry about anything, you know, protecting or serving or any kind of sovereignty. He's out there just drinking Mai Tais, just hanging out with his mask on and nothing else.
Yeah, it's like the special international water cruise where they just, you know.
Right. Oh, God. Okay.
That's an interesting choice. I think we need to pay tribute to at least one more villain. So I'm going to challenge you. I want you to vacation a villain. Hashtag vacation a villain.
Do you have a villain in mind, or am I just going to come
up
with
this one? No, this is on you now. I led us in with the Joker, and we talked about a lot of heroes, but, you know, I think the Joker shouldn't be the only one who gets to take some time away from it all.
I agree. Okay. So, a villain. I am going to say, I think, let's take a villain like the Calculator.
Wow.
Or,
I think he deserves some time away.
But even better than the Calculator, I'm going to go with like the Wizard. Okay? And what I think that the Wizard does after 354 odd days of, you know, cooking up mechanical masterworks and spider body suits and jet boots and weird discs that explode, is he's like, you know what, screw this, I'm calling Paste Pot Pete, we are going to get in the Jeep Wrangler, which I imagine is what they ride around in their off time, just a red Jeep Wrangler. They go out to the Civil War reenactment for a week. Where,
and that's the actual American Civil War, not like the reenactment.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Have we talked about that?
I don't. We need to talk about that sometime. Is starting a Marvel Civil War reenactment?
Marvel Civil War reenactment was probably the best idea. No, but going out to a Civil War reenactment where, you know, it's all period based. You can't have any technology. You can't even wear eyeglasses. You're out there. You know, for 7 days, reenacting the Battle of Gettysburg.
Yeah, I think, you know, who was it that ran around with the Fixer? Mentallo and the Fixer would get in on that. Yeah, all your, like, super tech guys.
Just give it up and do reverse LARPing.
Or like go in the Amish country.
Right, exactly. Go build a barn. Go do Habitat for Humanity.
Go out to Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
I just had the best.
Which is, God's honest truth, there is actually a town in Amish country called Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
So in my mind, I just had the greatest. Here's your vacation, right? Do you remember the Zodiac?
Oh my gosh, yes, from Marvel.
Yeah, the villain group, kind of the B-team throwaway villain group that always gets beat up, hardly ever gets a shot. They all sit around a big table, and every time you see them, there's a full splash page, or at least two pages of them doing a meet and greet. I'm Sagittarius, you know, I do this, like, it's all the Zodiac signs in supervillain form. I can see them at their meeting, like, they get done with their meet and greet, and they're like, all right, this Saturday is our trip to Habitat for Humanity, we're gonna go out there, we're gonna build a couple houses, we're gonna do some good, everybody bring their...
You gave me an idea, though, because there are a lot of, a lot of supervillains have an edge. You know, we talked about in Where Does He Get Those Wonderful Toys?
Mm-hmm.
The guys with, you know, all this high tech and armor and what have you, and how they may or may not have come by at all. What about the would be, you know, the little guys, the Bush League supervillains like Frogman and stuff? You know, they want to make it big,
right?
And a lot of times, you know, they're having trouble even like paying the rent. So what I envision is literally a villain philanthropy. Habitat for Inhumanity.
Ah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Where they go and build, you know, housing and help out the next generation of villains, because they're not going to get a good toehold.
Oh, that's good.
Know, because of all the 1% of villains like Dr. Doom, who are just, you know, keeping
the 1%ers.
Yes.
So they go out, they build, and then they have like symposiums or speeches on how to be a supervillain, like basic supervillaining, like skills.
Yeah,
and
they'll volunteer time.
Right. Oh,
they get some of their, you know, high end lawyers that help get them, you know,
incorporated, and
that help get them out of the, you know, out of jail and stuff, like out of the whatever the hell they call the big super prisons.
Yeah, this is the super maxes,
like Blackgate. Yeah, you know, the ones who help get them
out. The raft,
out.
Whatever it is. Yeah,
and they get them to volunteer. You know, they have like little legal seminars. You know, help them get out of tickets and stuff, so they can you know, work their way up to you know, knocking over banks or.
Taskmaster comes out, teaches us
basic
hand-to-hand.
Teaches us basic fighting skills and stuff.
This is really
and,
good.
And the thing about it, it works well for Taskmaster, too, because of his photographic mutant muscle memory.
Yeah.
It's a lot. He picked up chess.
Yeah.
He had never played chess before. And was, you know, instantly a chess master. Through Habitat for Inhumanity, he's actually a master carpenter.
Right.
As well, and you know, the thing about it is, a lot of people don't realize he's married,
right?
And let me tell you, the cabinetry,
the cabinet
in the kitchen, in their kitchen,
is fantastic.
It is
second to
none. It is stunning. I mean, people come in and just they weep. So there's a lot of benefit going on. So you know, hats off to Habitat for Humanity, Inhumanity rather.
Both really.
Yeah.
We support both.
Yeah, hats off to absolutely. But you know, Habitat for Inhumanity is a new startup. They haven't been around that long, but they're doing the slogan says, "Good work for bad people."
Good work. I think we're on to something here. Good work for bad people. All right. I can't think of a better way to wrap this show up than that.
That's right.
So Cole, go ahead.
That, you know, is the epitome of summer fun right there.
That it is. Why don't you plug us up and we'll get out of here because we're exhausted and it's obvious.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. This was the perfect show for when the exhaustion sets in.
It is.
So there you have it. We're, of course, coming to you from the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. Look for the return of the Jedi Cole Universe Comic Toy and Collectible Swap Meet on Saturday, May 14th, 2016, at the Bob Duncan Center in Arlington, Texas. You can something.
Yeah, right. Just wait. Well, you can wait is what you can
because
do.
Because I'm so far behind getting JCU stuff up on the site. Expect some tweets. When you hear this, there will have been a lot of tweets leading into this on Twitter at the Jedi Cole. You, the Jedi Cole Universe has a YouTube page where I actually posted a video selfie before the swap meet. And eventually I'll get the one I did after the swap meet in my complete and total other exhaustion.
Right.
You can watch myself and Eddie Medina at deepelemonair.com on the Rancor Pit Live. The next, as you listen to this, the next Rancor Pit is coming up, and then a week later we'll be back in the studio for the next live show.
There you go.
And, and you can write to us at... The Jedi Cole U, no, sorry, I'm sorry, JCU Mail. Good night, I'm addled. JCU Mail at yahoo.com. So please write to us. I do want to ask, I'm going to start asking this now and for the next several episodes. We have not done a Hey Kids Comics Presents in a long time. And that's where we answer fan mail, we answer questions that are posed to us. Challenge us with some thoughts. What are some of the things you'd like to hear us talk about? Or
right.
What kind of things would you like us to try to extrapolate on beyond much like Habitat for Inhumanity? if you want to know the news from Muggerville, that's the news.
That's the news from Muggerville.
My hometown. Where everyone's naked because
nobody has any clothes. And the clock puncher.
That's the clock puncher. Cowhand. Turducken. Manshutsu.
Steel wool.
Steel wool. Manshutsu. So, and I guess in closing, another really fun episode was the one where we were trying to trick Catherine.
That was a
fake.
That was good.
Our Great Lakes Avengers episode.
That was a great episode. You can never go wrong with the Great Lakes Avengers.
And of course, every episode we ever talked about toys.
Everyone. And we'll have another one of those coming up soon.
Yes, indeed. And toys are very much on my mind because as we speak, I'm about a week away from staying up way too late so that Eddie and I can get coverage of the Force Friday Midnight Madness Madness.
Midnight Madness Madness Madness.
It's the Star Wars Episode 7 toys.
Will be
officially released. However, if you're on Facebook, you've probably seen, and you're a Star Wars fan, you've seen that people are finding this crap all over the place.
Right, because nobody knows what street dating is.
Yeah, nobody can pay attention to do not open before September 2nd or whatever.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. But and I just got confirmation a few moments ago that the Sphero...
Yes.
Is in fact releasing their BB-8.
Oh, on that day. Very nice. Very nice.
Somebody already had pictures of it, so there was conjecture for the longest as to whether they're going to have that out for Force Friday or it was going to come later. But if I'm not mistaken, Sphero were the ones who made the actual practical robot possible.
Wow, that's awesome.
And to think something that us collectors can own for apparently $149.99, which is not bad for something that does something that on the surface looks freaking impossible.
Right. It's a miracle for $150.
I know. I feel like a caveman watching someone use a cell phone when I see the actual robot in action.
Right.
So, with that unrelated Star Wars, unrelated comic note from the Star Wars angle, the Jedi Cole Universe, I will personally bid you adieu and turn it over to our esteemed.
As will I, ladies and gentlemen. Join us next week when we talk about what we talk about. We love you all, and thank you all for listening. And go back and listen to some of our favorite episodes. There's some really good ones out there, really good special guests, and you were all the best guests of all. Thank you for welcoming us into your home and letting us run our mouths for an hour.
And we are building dangerously close now. Our 150th episode will be after how long has it been since our annual
Yeah.
Our first annual. We are finally revisiting from annual number one, which was way back, and I know I'm running this terribly long, way back July 17th, 2013.
Yes.
The best comic I ever read. Our 150th episode, the best comic I ever read.
That's awesome.
So we'll be visiting with a number of guests about the best comic they ever read.
And with that, we will say goodnight. Good night, Cole.
Good night, Andy.
And good night, everybody out there. Join us next week.